Jesus.
Yellow light!
I'm walking here! I'm walking!
Good afternoon and welcome to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH, streaming on the KTTH smartphone app. It's all every news station is talking about, and when they tackle these kinds of events, we, of course, will take their cues. It's What's Trending, brought to you by Legacy Group Capital Northwest Fund.
What's Trending? Happening now.
We have live team coverage of Eclipse 2024. We have reporters in the field. We have got correspondents who are ready to bring you everything you don't want to know about the eclipse, but are powerless to stop us from delivering it.
Eclipsemageddon 2024. Just because it ended doesn't mean we're going to stop hyping it up.
In fact, we will be hyping it up for the next 24 hours straight. We kick off our live coverage with reporter James Lynch.
This is James Lynch reporting for the Jason Rant Show, camped out in Cedro Woolley. The eclipse ended hours ago, and no, we're not seeing any eclipse. I don't get paid enough for this. Back to you guys in the studio.
Did he have some attitude at the end there?
A little bit.
Kind of. Okay. Well, whenever we need to get man on the street audio, we always go to our most insufferably friendly reporter, Charlie Harger. You're up.
Reporting live from outside a pancake house in Longview, Charlie Harger here. And Jason, no one here saw the eclipse, which is what I warned you about. Not sure why you sent me over here when the eclipse was ending. But yeah, I've got nothing. Reporting live, unnecessarily, Charlie Harger.
That also seemed a little rude.
Yeah, I think
a little attitude.
I think the clouds have kind of people in a bad mood.
My God. Well, I didn't expect this to be so fruitless. But good news, we still have Sam Campbell, who's reporting live.
Jason, I'm here in Aberdeen. I'm not sure why you sent me all this way for an afternoon live hit when the eclipse ended hours ago, but we still don't even see the sun. It's still cloudy. I'm coming back into the station now. Thanks for getting me stuck in traffic. This is Sam Campbell reporting live. Back to you.
You know, they're always just so negative.
Yeah, well, it's Monday, you know.
It's negative Nancy's over there. Why aren't people excited? It's Eclipse Day!
Eclipse Spectacular 2024. We couldn't see it because of the clouds, but that doesn't mean we can't milk it for ratings for the next 24 hours straight.
Good afternoon. I am Jason Rance. Pronouns he, him, they, them. For some, today is a celebration of the lunar eclipse, a time to gather with friends, families, and coworkers to experience what some say is an almost religious experience. Not that we recognize God on NPR. But for others, the eclipse is a tragic reminder of systemic racism and the role of white supremacy culture in eclipse coverage. Dr. Ivor Whiteshade woke up to the realities of white supremacy culture while receiving her bachelor's degree in women's intersectional studies from Evergreen State College. Now, she's authored three books on the topic. The latest, Eclipsed by Whiteness, The White Supremacy Shadow in Celestial Events. She says the dangers of racist eclipse coverage can be found everywhere. And it's impacting communities of color in ways you would never imagine.
What I try to get across in my latest book builds upon my second nonfiction, Solar Supremacy, How the Eclipse Casts a Shadow on Racial Justice. There is a symbolic and literal interplay between solar eclipses and systemic racial inequalities. These celestial events reinforce and magnify the shadows of white supremacy in society. All one needs to do is look at the historical and contemporary narratives that position eclipses as metaphors for the concealment of justice and visibility in the BIPOC communities. Only through a critical examination of cultural, scientific, and media discourses surrounding eclipses can you find the subtle yet pervasive ways in which these natural phenomena are co-opted to perpetuate a legacy of racial domination and exclusion.
That is just some great stuff. If you want to check out their other books, check out Shadows of Supremacy, Uncovering Racial Bias in the Path of Totality, or The Eclipse of Equality, Unveiling the Racist Underbelly of Astronomical Phenomena. This is NPR.
Eclipse Mania 2024. It ended hours ago, but we're still talking about it.
Jason Ranch Show correspondent Darren Casey here. I'm just a guy who likes movies, and I'm here with my top 10 eclipse-themed movies. Coming in at number 10, Mel Gibson's Apocalypto. Number 9, the cult classic Little Shop of Horrors. Making the list at number 8, it's actually difficult finding films with an eclipse theme. Diary of a Wimpy Kid, which includes the song Total Eclipse of the Heart. Coming in at number 7, Lord of the Rings, because the Eye of Sauron kind of looks like an eclipse. Number 6, and 5 and 4. The Star Wars films, including the spin-offs, because they had to have eclipse in them, right? Number 3, The Ring, because it's shaped like a circle, which is similar to the shape of a moon and sun. Number 2, Miss Congeniality, which I watched the night of the last eclipse, and that counts, right? And the number 1 eclipse-themed movie, Bridges Over Madison County, because the bridge over the county is like the moon over a sun. Back to you, Jason Ranch Show.
That was truly outstanding.
Some hard-hitting journalism.
This is how you do coverage of the eclipse. I know everyone else thought they were doing their over-the-top coverage that was insufferable and not at all interesting. And I'm actually not quite sure why media outlets in Seattle, for example, decided to go all in on this all day, given even on a perfect weather day, we would have been able to see literally nothing. But hey, I'm sure it got some eyeballs and people got excited because you could only get this once. Well, I mean, there were a few years ago we actually had one. But the next one that's going to happen, you know, some of you will be dead. You think of it that way, then maybe today was a big deal. Except it's been nothing but clouds. Literally nothing but clouds.
You're just a ray of sunshine today.
Well, you know what? I would have loved just a little bit of sunshine, just even a little ray of sunshine to get through those clouds today. Did anything happen anywhere in Washington State, including on the east side? I don't even think they had.
I mean, I noticed literally nothing today.
There was no difference today other than people pretending to be all excited about the eclipse. And that's the stuff I can't get over. It's like the coverage of these kinds of events. It's too much, man. It's too much. It's just dial it back just a little bit, just a little tiny bit. I get if you're in the one part of Maine that's in the totality of the totality. Okay, that I will give you. Go ahead and send your correspondence there. But I was just perusing earlier today, just nothing but disappointment in the voices of so many. The people who traveled ended up getting stuck again with bad weather. Just was not a good eclipse day. And the thing is, I'm sure we'll have some great footage of it because of some like super high tech, high end model camera that can only be afforded by the federal government or Elon Musk, right? We'll get like some cool images that you'll be able to see online. Just wait for it.
Yeah.
You know, this whole idea that it's like a religious experience, that part I don't quite understand. Why would that be considered a religious experience? Like, almost religious.
You know, people live, you know, hollow, empty lives, and they need something to be excited about.
Right? I mean, is it because it's something you can actually see, and it's, like, unexpected, and it's, I guess, you know, space meeting nature for the first time? Is that it?
I mean, I'm with you. I don't really get it either.
I don't understand. Here's a physicist, Desiree Whitmore. She spoke with ABC 7 News. She's from San Francisco. She traveled all the way over to Junction, Texas, just to see the eclipse.
This is my very first total solar eclipse.
Okay, I already don't like her. Already? She's just popping right out the start? Not even a ramp up, right? Just like, I'm immediately the most excited person in the history of the world because I get to be around other human beings for the first time as a physicist, because I'm such a nerd, in a long time.
You came in a little too hot there.
Just a little, dial it back. Just a little tiny bit.
And I'm kind of losing my mind a little bit because I have a lot of energy. I just can't wait. It's going to get dark and cold and the light's like going to be weird. And I'm just going to be surrounded by amazing humans that are just as curious as I am.
No, just as insufferable. So in other words, you're going to experience what you experience every nighttime, except it's going to be shorter and in the middle of the afternoon.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure we were on the same page. Now, if you really want to experience something weird as it relates to why is it so dark out or why is it still light out, go to either Alaska or go to I was in Finland and I was there, right? Oslo?
Was I in Oslo? Norway.
No, that's Norway. Where was I?
Helsinki?
Yeah, I was in Helsinki and I was there in, it was either late June or July. I don't remember. The one thing I did remember, because that city is just awful. It's boring. There's nothing to do. But I did go to a 1975 concert, and it started at 9. And when I got there, it was as if it was still 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a bright, sunny day at 9 p.m. And as I go in, you realize that all the shades around windows, they're all the blackout curtains because it's so light out. I got out of the show a little after 11, 11:30. And it was so bright out still as if it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That's weird. When the sun doesn't even go down, it doesn't even set. You get kind of a sunset-ish for about an hour around 3 a.m., but that's it. It's basically bright out 24 hours for, I want to say, a few weeks, if not a couple months, maybe.
And then conversely, in the winter there, it's like pitch black at like 1:30, you know?
I don't know which one I would dislike the most. It's not that I dislike the sun being out so long. It was just weird. It's just it feels almost religious. Like, no, it made me feel uncomfortable, weird. Right? It was just like creepy almost. Like this was going to be the start of a horror film. You would think that that would only happen when it's dark 24/7. No, you get the same weird feeling of just impending doom, which in fairness is my normal everyday kind of standalone feeling. But you know what I'm saying?
It's kind of your default setting.
That close. Yeah. Greg Harris is the CEO of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And he says the solar eclipse is going to be magical. He spoke with KTVU.
I want to feel the temperature drop. It's my understanding when I've seen it before, we all get a little circumspect, a little more mellow. There's some emotion involved. And I can't wait to do that with a ton of people out here together. It's going to be very magical.
So you get... He's talking about how he's having this very personal experience, but you want to have it with other people. And by the way, you've already seen it. You've already experienced the eclipse. What do you need it again for? Oh, Jeremy is a tourist. He's from Montreal. Now, if you live in Montreal, I get why this is exciting. Because you, what do you have in Montreal? Hockey. Oh, and poutine, I guess. But I mean, they don't really have anything there. So he traveled to New York to see the eclipse. That's not far. What is that, 45-minute flight?
It's longer. I mean, Toronto's closer to New York. But
Montreal and Toronto are very close to each other, aren't they?
I mean,
isn't that like Canada's even a big shorter?
Relatively speaking, I guess.
I don't mean they're literal neighbors.
Certainly a plane ride, it's probably a very short plane ride.
It's like flying to Portland from Seattle. That's basically it. But he crawled from Montreal to New York.
It's a magic because you will have...
Oh, it even sounds like a Montrealian. Oh, you know, dude, pick a lane. You either are a weird-sounding American or you're French. You can't do kind of both at the same time. I don't like it.
It's a magic because you will have like a night during the day.
Oh, is that what it is?
Even if it's only 2 minutes, I think it's one of the things you don't see every time because the next one will be maybe in, we will always not be in this world.
Well, how old are you? It's 21 years from now it'll be. We didn't sound that old.
Yeah, he wasn't that old.
No, you do not understand. I am a drug addict, I think you say here. How you say, drug fentanyl? I will not last until tomorrow. So, okay. Oh, that was it.
He kind of sounded like an American doing an impression of a French person.
He really did sound, I'm almost certain, ABC 7 New York, you got played. I don't think that was an actual accent. That sounded like a bad version of a French accent.
And I cut this part out, but he also mentioned that he was going to like go see a Yankee game. He's probably just like from the Bronx or something.
Why would you cut that part out? It's more content to make fun of.
Because he didn't say it. The reporter said it. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The reporter couldn't include a little bit more audio. My God. So today was Eclipse Day, and nothing happened. I would say the only thing that I would probably think of if I did, in fact, experience an eclipse would be assuming that it's end of times for the entire 4 minutes or however long it was, just assuming something bad is going to happen and we're all going to die. That would be my general assumption, because I saw that one Lars von Trier film with Kirsten Dunst and Kiefer Sutherland, and the moon or a planet or something got out of orbit, and then it's crashed into us, and then we all died. So that's what I assume would happen.
I haven't seen that film, but...
Yeah, no one has seen a Lars von Trier film except for like 17 of us. Literally, he makes movies for 17 people. And none of us enjoy the films, but we go anyway. And by go, I mean if it's on Netflix and I'm passing it, I'll go ahead and watch it, I guess, sometimes. But not actively pay attention. That's all. Okay, you can push the button.
What's trending? Crime.
So a man in Puyallup, his name is Eric, he stopped a car thief. But in the process of doing so, he ended up on the hood of the getaway car. So it happened on April 3rd, a little after 1 a.m. And it just so happens that Eric Smith was looking at his phone right at the moment that a Ring alarm notification went off on his phone. Ring as in the surveillance company. And he's looking at the alarm and it shows that someone is actually there. He realized in the moment his car was being broken into. And so he rushed outside, not really thinking, because I would not recommend just rushing outside. But he rushed outside. He didn't have anything but his cell phone on him. And out of just pure instinct, he grabs a teenager who is breaking into his car. They get into a little bit of a struggle. The teen ends up yelling for help like a big baby. And he was yelling for help because his friend, who's believed to be an adult, was in a getaway car just waiting to see whatever it is he could steal. And then they would just go to another victim, I guess. And so Eric got in the way of all of that. And at some point, the driver in the getaway car, well, he drives, except he drove right into Eric, taking him several feet. And yet somehow, miraculously, and this is all caught on surveillance footage that I have on my Twitter feed right now, miraculously, dude just kind of slid off of the hood, landed on his feet, and was fine. He was totally okay.
He obviously was in panic mode.
He also sounds like a big baby.
Oh, he really does.
Help, help. He almost sounds like a nerd, too. Did you pick that up?
He kind of sounds like he's still going through puberty a little.
Yeah, well, because I think he's like super young. I think he's like 13, 14 years old. So his voice is still cracking.
He did not like my hands on him. It was more of a hop and grab on the hood. Just ended up on the hood. Drove, you know, 40 feet into my truck, and where I kicked the door shut and flew off the hood and on my feet.
It's truly amazing how he ended up being okay after all of this. He's there speaking with Fox 13. He'll do the radio exclusive on the show here later today. But he tells Fox 13 that, you know, given how this could have ended, he's feeling pretty lucky to be alive.
And it was fortunate the way it ended, and I'm not injured, but it could have been a lot different. I just looked down and I saw a little picture and I saw the door of my truck open and I was like, oh no, ain't gonna happen here. They hopped out of bed, ran downstairs barefooted.
Now, like I said, that's not usually the best decision. You don't know who you're dealing with. You don't know whether or not they're armed. The first thing you should do is call 911. I suppose you can make noise from your home to try to scare the people off, because generally, though not always, but generally, these are just thieves. They're not looking to do any physical harm to anybody. They're in it just for whatever it is they can steal. However, that's not always the case. It's usually the case, but not always the case. And so this guy is pretty lucky. In this case, like I said, one of them is a juvenile. Someone in the Federal Way Police Department recognized the kid based on the surveillance as well as the adult, because apparently they've been doing things like this in the past. In fact, these two hit up another car, broke into another car 30 minutes before this incident with Eric, apparently. So I'm told somewhat mixed messages or a poorly written email from Federal APD that I'm just misinterpreting. They either definitely made an arrest of the juvenile or they most definitely did not yet and they're hoping to. Can't quite tell based on the email, so I'm going to go with they made the arrest because they need a win. Let's just give them a little bit of a win. And at least they say they've identified the individual who was involved allegedly.
If they were willing to take the risk of driving and assaulting me and possibly injuring and killing me, who knows what they would do to the next person.
So I when I posted the video on my Twitter feed, twitter.com/JasonRants, there were a lot of folks who said, this is why you should always be armed. This is why I own a firearm, and Eric himself owns a firearm, but obviously he did not bring it down with him. You know, not to rag on people too much, he should not have brought his firearm there if you think he was going to use it or should have used it. Let's just say he goes down and just shoots the guy breaking into his car. Yeah, Eric goes to jail for that. You don't get to shoot someone breaking into your car. Now, if you're in the car at the moment and it's a carjacking, that might be a little bit different depending on the circumstances. But in this case, clearly, you're not to shoot at anyone. The driver coming towards you with the car, okay, that's a little bit different. But, you know, it's not like we're some stand your ground state. I imagine you would get Bob Ferguson himself coming down and say, oh, well, you didn't have to leave your home. And you just shot and killed a person of color. I don't even know if it is, but we'll just go with that because, hey, BIPOC community needs to vote for me. And I'm going to, that's basically what we would be dealing with. So I don't know if that would have been smart to bring the gun. And by the way, as he rolls off the hood, what if the gun got loose? And then the kid with the screechy voice ends up picking it up and ends up using it against you.
Yeah, that'd be very unsavory.
That was your contribution.
Yeah,
that was your contribution. It might be unsavory. Oh my God! Should we go back to Eclipse coverage? Is that what you want? Because I'll do it. I'll do it. I can do it all day. I can do it for the entire show. Just nothing. But
I know you can.
Making fun of people who like the eclipse, and really making fun of anyone who likes anything. I could do 3 hours, 4 hours a day on that. 1-800-465-8770 for your text messages. 1-800-465-8770. When we come back, we've got an exclusive story, an update to that Seattle teacher who sure doesn't seem to like Jews or Israel all too much. You're going to want to hear the exclusive audio when we come back on the Jason Brandt Show. Welcome back to the Jason Brandt Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Really do appreciate it. Don't forget, we've got a podcast. Not only does it mean you can catch any parts of the show that you missed, but we do an extra podcast each and every weeknight. It's called The Leftovers. You can only get it if you are a podcast subscriber. So head on over to ktth.com or wherever it is you download podcasts. And then just become a subscriber. You can even subscribe to the podcast via the KTTH smartphone app. And while you're there, you can also watch us do the show each and every day because we now have our two studios here. Got a multi-cam setup to put a lot of money into this. It's why I didn't tell you this. We're docking your pay next week. But you're okay. You're new. You don't need it.
It's understandable.
Are you really counting on that paycheck? No. We're taking producer Jackson's pay and we put it into, and if I'm being totally honest, we could only do like a half of a camera based on just taking away a week. So we went in and we went to the people who make the least amount in the building and we just cut all because they're already struggling, right? I mean, it was a little bit more of a struggle.
My life's not going to change that much.
Yeah, it is what it is. So we did that and we set up all of these cameras. They look really good. And every time I push my little microphone button, the camera turns on. And then when I play a clip from my computer, then a separate camera turns on. Then when Jackson starts talking, an awkwardly placed one turns on. It's just all fun. And people can watch. It's almost like television, but on the radio. Seattle Public Schools doesn't care about Jewish students. I'm confident and comfortable saying that based upon how they have treated a story that, if you listen to the show, you're going to be familiar with. But we've been covering a guy named Ian Golash, a teacher over at Chief South High School in West Seattle. We have been covering him for months. This is someone who holds disturbing anti-Semitic views that he ends up bringing into the classroom. The previous times we've covered him, it's actually kind of run the gamut. And it's gone from gender identity issues to anti-Semitism. The first one we covered with Ian Golash was when he failed a student on a quiz for saying men can't get pregnant. Then he claimed, and we covered this, he claimed that calling oneself, quote unquote, straight is offensive because it implies other people are crooked. Not making it up. Now, those two stories went international when I covered them. And then, of course, I covered his anti-Semitic curriculum. He doesn't hide his views. And when you've got kids who are basically being held captive by all of their teachers, they're being hit with this every single day. It comes with some consequences. And so my reporting caught the attention of Accuracy in Media. Last week, Adam Gillette was on the show. He's the president there. And he decided to go out to the school with a giant digital billboard highlighting, in Ian Golash's own words, his views, so that everyone there knows that he is an anti-Semite, that he holds these views, at least. You might not think he's an anti-Semite, but you can at least acknowledge the viewpoints he push are anti-Semitic. They're not just dumb, but they're anti-Semitic. They're dangerous. And so Adam Gillette's out there, outside of the school last week. He did not expect Ian Golash would come with his classroom outside for a confrontation. And it started with one precocious young kid. They're either 9th or 10th graders, not sure. He was very, very open and honest about his teacher, Ian Golash.
Hey, good afternoon. What do you think about Ian Golash and his anti-Semitism? What are your thoughts?
I don't like it, honestly. How has he not been fired yet? That's my main question. How has he not been fired yet? I mean, he's I've read his posts. He's anti-Semitic. And he's a criminal, I think.
I think he's been arrested a couple times.
Yeah, why is the school allowed to do that? Why is the district allowed to hire him?
Have you had him as a teacher?
I actually am a part of his class right now. He's taking us out as an example of free speech.
So he's taking you out of the class to us right now?
Yeah, he's right down there.
I love this kid. I love him. He's standing up to the teacher while the teacher's like 10 feet away, and he's calling him anti-Semitic. He knows that he's being filmed here. He gives permission. He knows his teacher's going to see it. So, my God. Kudos to him for stepping up and saying something, because that takes guts.
And very well spoken.
Very well spoken, surprisingly, because kids are usually dumb. But he sounded really, really on top of things. Now, I have the full audio, the raw, unedited audio. I wanted it because I wanted to make sure nothing was taken too out of context or out of context at all. You obviously have to make edits when you're doing videos like what Accuracy in Media is doing. And not that I don't trust them, but I want to make sure I know everything that was said, because I covered this in a different way than AIM would. I know the story a little bit differently, and maybe there's something else that jumps out at me. And so I pulled some of the audio from the raw footage, the full clip of which, all of the clips, will be available tomorrow. But obviously we got a leg up on everyone else in getting the audio, because a lot of my work is, you know, quoted here and is the reason why they're doing this. So Adam then goes to Ian Golash, who does not appear to be happy that he's being interviewed and called out, yet he's the one who made the decision to bring these kids outside. And while I'm 100% not making a claim about whether or not he was stoned at the time, he comes off like he's high. And it's actually, and I'm not even saying that jokingly, it's alarming if he's in front of these kids just with his viewpoints, but if this is how he acts.
I think one child dying is terrible, but I would never endorse killing women at a music festival. But you said that was merely resistance to oppression. Is that right?
No, that's not what I said.
Your post said that their oppressors don't get to choose the form of resistance used against them. You didn't write that?
That is true.
That is true. And by the way, let me read it directly so you actually understand how disgusting it is, because it's actually worse, I would argue, than how Adam Gillette, off the top of his head, just memorizing it, read it. He said, yes, I believe that resistance against colonialism, and yes, I believe Israel is a settler colonial state, and all forms of oppression is justified. People who are being oppressed get to decide what forms of resistance works best for them, not me or anyone else, especially not the oppressors. So he's arguing, knowing full well that innocent Jews of all different ages were slaughtered. He knows that folks were raped. He knows that women were raped, although he goes on to deny that. But he still posted that. This wasn't posted like on October 1st before they even thought anything could happen potentially. This was from January 27 of this year. So he spent a lot of time, he spent months thinking about the atrocities, about the terrorist attack committed by Hamas, and he decided to say, they get to decide, the Palestinians and Hamas, they get to decide how they're going to fight their oppressors.
Well, then was what happened to Israel on October 7th justified?
Yes.
Oh my God.
The rape of women at a music festival was justified.
Where's the evidence that there was rape?
You don't think there was any rape?
Where's the evidence that there was rape?
So there's a ton of evidence, including people who were actual victims of rape, who have given interviews. We talked about one of them from the New York Times last week and the week before. There's the UN investigation that talked with survivors, talked with witnesses, talked with medical experts, visited the sites of some of these attacks, and they came to the exact same conclusion. Yeah, rape occurred, clearly, mass rapes. I know that Ian Golash and others like him want to pretend that there's not evidence, because of course Jews just make things up, and you know, Jews own Hollywood, so they probably created this. They probably just hired some of their costume designers and their special effects people. They got a good Jewish writer to write the script about what had occurred, and they're just putting it out there as propaganda, because you know they play those propaganda games, those Jews. I mean, this is essentially what he's playing into. But the one thing is for certain, he at least understands that people were killed.
Okay. Were women murdered at the music festival?
They were.
Was that justified?
Yes.
Okay. Women were murdered? Yes. Was it justified? Yes. That alone should be enough to remove this guy from every classroom he could potentially even visit. I don't even want him going into the classroom of a colleague to say, hey, you're needed in the front office. This is a guy who should not step foot on a campus. This is someone who is absolutely despicable. And you can disagree on policy. You can disagree with the war going on still. Okay, we can have that disagreement, I suppose. I'll talk it out with you. But you can't hold views like this and then be accepted into civilized society. Certainly not get put in front of kids Monday through Friday. Now, he tries to clean this up a little bit, except he does a really bad job at it.
The murder of innocent women just attending a music festival, that was justified in your opinion?
No, I think resistance against Israel is justified, yeah.
So he then says no, but then follows it up immediately by again defending Hamas murdering women by saying, you know, they get to push back against their oppressor the way they want to. Did that make it any better? Even like a little bit? No, really didn't. This is a bad person.
Yes.
Do girls attending a music festival count as Israel?
This is a pointless conversation.
Tell me your thoughts. I'm giving you all the time. I'm not going to interrupt you.
I'm good.
I agree with him that it is a pointless conversation. This is a bigot who's not going to change his views. Seriously, you think he's the kind of person who's going to change his views? Since this recording happened, he went on his Facebook page, which is public, to then, I think at this point, is quadrupling down on everything he just said, knowing that this is going to become a big story. He still decided to go online and say, yes, I believe that resistance against colonialism and all forms of oppression is justified. And yes, I believe that the people who are being oppressed get to decide what form of resistance works best for them, not me or anyone else, especially not the oppressors. He wrote that on April 5th. He wrote that on April 5th.
Is America an oppressor state?
Shame.
Yeah.
Would it then be acceptable to go to Bonnaroo or Lollapalooza and kill a bunch of civilians?
It's just like a stupid argument.
Really? It's quite literally your argument. That is your argument. So yes, another thing we happen to agree with. It is a stupid argument. Everything you've said so far is both offensive, bigoted, and remarkably stupid. Now, we've been trying to get a comment from SPS for a few weeks now. And when I say we, I mean KTTH Radio, MyNorthwest.com, and Cairo News Radio. Because, and I've got this exclusive story up right now at KTTH.com, the last time I covered him, I put in a public disclosure request for emails, got those emails. Turns out he created a flyer that was pushing the boycott, divest, sanction movement on kids. This was recently. He put out a flyer asking students to boycott businesses that he believes to be pro-Israel. He flat out says, just boycott. To show your support towards Palestine, boycott these brands: McDonald's, Starbucks, KFC, Lay's, Pringles, Nike, Puma, Kylie Jenner makeup, etc. All of these brands support or fund Israel. Now, according to the Seattle Public School Handbook, and I looked up the procedure, it's policy 5252SP. It limits what staff members can do as it relates to politics or running for office on school grounds. It prohibits employees from campaigning for a political issue during school hours and on school property. So I asked SPS multiple times, is this against policy? Would you like to provide a comment? Then Cairo Radio did. No answer. No answer whatsoever. Then about 3 weeks later, this ends up happening. And they know that it's caught on film. And so I wrote them again. And of course, because I had the video, I transcribed everything that was said and asked them for a comment. So finally, they responded. But of course, it was a boilerplate nothing burger. Seattle Public Schools is looking into the matter to determine the facts. While our review is in process, we will not comment on personnel matters related to this topic. Creating high-quality and inclusive educational environments for our students is a top priority for SPS. SPS does not tolerate anti-Semitic or Islamophobic speech or acts in our school or offices. So in a classic deflective fashion, this spokesperson jams into the statement a comment on Islamophobia, as if one can't stand without the other. This is painting a false equivalence that ends up diluting the severity of the anti-Semitism that's happening on campus. And instead of just addressing the Jew hatred, instead of just addressing that, what do? They sidestep. They prove that this is really, for them, about political posturing. It's weird how anytime you ask someone to condemn anti-Semitism, they say, we condemn anti-Semitism and Islamophobia. I didn't ask you about Islamophobia because no one's making the allegations of Islamophobia running rampant on your school. But we are saying that about anti-Semitism. Right now, this school is on spring break. So they have a week to figure this out. If Ian Golash is back in the class after this, let it be clear. Everyone should acknowledge they simply do not care about Jews. They don't care about Jewish students. They don't care about Jewish parents. They don't care about Jewish community members. It's the Jason Rant Show. back to the Jason Rand Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I forgot to say, you can go to ktth.com and read my story about Ian Golash. Don't just read, but also share it. Because we're going to have to put pressure on Seattle Public Schools to do the right thing and kick this guy out of school. He should not be employed in a position in front of kids, period. And the same way, the left would scream if someone wore a MAGA hat. Oh, they can't even be, they shouldn't be within a mile of a school. You better hope that they speak up on this. And again, if you hear silence, understand they support the speech. They support the speech. You don't get to mirror a tone from Nazis and get taxpayer-funded paychecks every other week. Sorry. This is not the kind of guy who's ever going to change either. I'm sure he doesn't think he's anti-Semitic. Okay, I don't care. And the end result is still the same, which is you make students feel uncomfortable. I don't even know if it's the same kid that we played the audio of who very clearly was not happy with his teacher. But in my report, I point out how the school, including its principal, Ray Garcia Morales, they've known about Ian Golash and they've been getting complaints for a while now. They knew that this was all going on. But as I was looking through all the emails, I caught one that was sent on November 29th of last year. And it was a Jewish student who wrote this email. And he or she wrote it to explain their, quote, experience as a student in your class. In your class. Meaning, they wrote directly to Ian Golash, this email. And the student complained that, quote, discussions of topics that do not align with your beliefs are not welcome. The student said that the, quote, overbearing presence of your own beliefs makes it uncomfortable for students like me to share their own opinions and experiences. And then the student told Golash that he, quote, should leave room for students to form and express their own opinions. Now, in this email, this student brought up an anti-Semitic lesson on Gaza where, according to the student, only your perspective was shared. And so, this is a kid who said he or she has personally experienced anti-Semitism at that school, pointing directly to some of what Golash has been putting out there, said that it made me uncomfortable. Israel is a part of my identity. It is home to family and friends of mine. Now, it takes a lot of guts to write this to your own teacher. It takes a lot of guts. So imagine for a moment what this kid must have been going through to get to the point where he essentially felt compelled to write this kind of email to a teacher. Just think about it in terms of what would be your trigger? What's the issue that you would not be able to bear day after day after day? What's the topic that is so extreme that you would say if it was hitting you every single day, enough is enough. I can't do this anymore. I have to say something. Because it's really easy to not say anything. It's really easy to just sit back, shut up, don't bring attention to yourself, despite being uncomfortable the entire time because you don't want to be graded poorly from someone who seems really vindictive. Because again, given Ian Golash's viewpoint, I wouldn't want him knowing I'm a Jew. In fact, one of the parents who complained said that their kid, again, unidentified, it's all protected, that their kid felt uncomfortable being openly Jewish. Imagine for a moment being in that position as a kid because you have a bigot for a teacher, someone who now is on camera saying that it's okay to murder or rape. I like that he says, well, prove that. Where's the proof? Let's say there was proof. Let's just live in that world. Is that still okay? Well, yeah, I mean, it's up to the oppressed. That's on them. They get to decide. I don't get to decide for them. Okay, so then it doesn't matter whether or not there's actual evidence of rape. You can ignore it all you want. It doesn't change the fact that you seem to be okay with all of this. So head on over to KTTH.com or text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770.